Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning. Okay. Well, good morning. Welcome, everybody. We have been doing a series on, we just started a series, David introed it last week, called Living the Life. And yes, the blinds are shut for a reason. It's all good. Bear with me. You'll see why later. Hang in there. I know, it's pretty out, but it's foggy, so it's okay. Yeah, we'll be okay without sunlight for a minute. We're doing a series called Living the Life, and we're going through the book of John. And if you haven't read the book of John, you're missing out. You got to read the book of John. The book of John is awesome. It's amazing. And what it is, basically, the book of John is all about Jesus, and it's all about the wonder and the beauty of who Jesus is. So we get to see the glory and the beauty of who our God is. It's awesome to see. He's the author and giver of life, and any life apart from God. We've been talking about living the life. What does it mean to live the life? You hear that phrase a lot, or all sorts of different references. Man, I'm living the life. It means I got a lot of money, I'm having fun, I'm doing whatever I want, I'm fishing. But is that really living the life? Is that really truly living the life as God has meant it to be? Because really, apart from Jesus, any other life is just a facade. It's just for show. But Jesus is the real life. And we're going to get into that. And so the verses that we're going to hit today are John 1, 1 through 5. So we're getting in the first few verses of the Bible in the book of John here. And David said, oh, this will be an easy message, Matt. No worries. John 1, 1 through 5, easy message. He always says that. And then you look into these like five verses, and these are like huge. These are huge. These are some of the most profound ideas in all of Christianity, and some of the most disputed ideas in Christianity. We'll get into the fact, I mean, how God is the creator of everything, all of creation. We get into the divinity and character of who Christ is, how Christ is the only path to eternal life. All these themes are wrapped up in there. And so the scope of this is huge, awesome. Some of these are probably the most profound verses in the Bible, if you can rank them like that. And if we tried to get into all of these and study them all out in depth, we'd be here for the rest of your life, and we will be learning about those all through eternity. So we're not going to get through them on a Sunday. But we're going to get through a little part of them here and get a glimpse into the beauty and glory of who Christ is. So what I want to talk about today is that Jesus is the source of light. Jesus is the source of light that will overcome, and that true and eternal life comes from walking in the light that Jesus has provided us. So Jesus is the source of the light, and as we walk in that light, we'll have true and eternal life that he'll give us. So I'm going to read here John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the beauty of your word, Father. How everything that we need to know in life, Lord, you've contained in the words of your, in the pages of your word, Lord. And I just thank you for the gift of your word that does give us light, Lord, that does open our eyes and shows us the path to eternal life. And Father, I just pray that as we get into these verses, Father, that you would open our eyes more and more to see the beauty and glory of who you are, Father. Give us understanding into your word, Father. And I just pray that you would draw our hearts to you in the midst of us, Father. Draw our hearts to know you and love you more, Jesus. And thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. Okay. So getting into it, we're going to get into the first few verses first, just to kind of get a background and understanding on it. And it's Jesus is the eternal word. My first point is Jesus is the eternal word. Jesus is the eternal word of God. And we've read in John here, and if you could jump back all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. See a similarity? John 1, 1 through 5, Genesis 1, 1 through 5. And you could keep your finger back there in Genesis, because we're going to be referring to that a lot. Because you'll see there's a lot of similarities between John and Genesis that are pretty cool. In Genesis 1, 1 through 5, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So we get back in there, and if you notice, they both start off with the same words. What words? In the beginning. In the beginning. But the cool thing is about, and I think John is doing that on purpose, to draw his readers all the way back to Genesis. He's tying in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because as we'll see in here too, Christ is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. All of the Old Testament points us to Jesus Christ. And John is even taking us back before Genesis, because he's going back to what was there before creation started. Before creation started, there was the Word, and the Word was with God. So that's even before, what existed before creation ever started. And he talks about the Word, and we see this all throughout this section that we're talking about. What is the Word that he's talking about? And as you read into John, it becomes very obvious that he's talking about Jesus Christ. Because he talks about him becoming flesh, how John the Baptist come and prepares the way for him. And so what is the Word of God? What is the Word? And David talked about this last week, but I wanted to bring it back up. The Word is God's powerful self-expression. It's God's powerful self-expression in creation, in revelation, and salvation. So in creation, revelation, and salvation. God's powerful self-expression in creation, revelation, and salvation. And the Word points us again back to Genesis. He uses that on purpose because it points out, how was everything created back in Genesis? How was it created? God spoke. God spoke. God spoke forth and it came into place. God spoke and it happened. God spoke and it happened. God did all of that, not by fashioning, not, we never see him use his hands. We never see him do a lot really in there, except for God spoke and it happened. God spoke and it happens. It's like when we're with our kids, we speak and they do things. What, your kids don't do that? I don't know. We speak, God spoke and something happens. We'd like that to be the way in with our life and with our kids, but it isn't. We're not God. So God spoke and it happened. So John again is drawing us back to creation, God's Word. And Jesus is the Word, and he was in the beginning with God. Just like God, Jesus is eternal. He is without beginning and he is without end. There was never a time where God or Jesus was not, and there never will be a time when God or Jesus are not, which is just blows my mind in and of itself. So turn with me again over to John 17:5. We'll spend a lot of time in John, so you can kind of hang tight in there because we'll be looking at a lot of those verses. John 17:5. And now, Father, glorify me in your... This is Jesus talking. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So he's talking about that glory that he shared with God before the world existed. Before Genesis started, Jesus and God were there sharing eternity together. And it says, the Word was with God and the Word was God. So this is as clear as it can be about an affirmation of the divinity of Christ. Very clear. Jesus is saying he is God. Jesus is God. And this isn't talking about a coexistence with God where they're both there. This is talking about a unique relationship with God. This is talking about the unique oneness in their relationship, how they are separate, but they are one. And if I spend time going into the Trinity, we will be here a long time, well into tomorrow. If you want to learn more about the Trinity and study that out, I know Pete did a message on it last spring. You can find that online, study it out, lots of sources. But yeah. I'd spend all the time there. We'd never get into anything else. And throughout the history of the church, ever since it started, there's been a lot of attacks on the divinity of Jesus. Because he's the basis. I mean, if Jesus is God, then everything is pointing towards him. But if Jesus is not God, than he's just another prophet, he's just a dude, he's out there, cool, great, we'll listen to him, he had some good stuff to say, awesome. But if Jesus is God, man, that changes everything. That changes everything. And John knew this when he was writing this. This statement, Jesus is God, everything changes. And this becomes the main point that John is proving throughout his gospel that we'll get into too, that Jesus is God himself. And my intent in this series today and our intent in this series is so that we could better understand who Jesus is, to realize more of the character qualities of who Christ is and the beauty and glory of who he is, and to understand more and more that he is fully worthy. Like we were singing about today, like we always sing about and talk about, he is fully worthy of all of our faith, all of our worship, and us submitting everything to him. He alone is worthy of that. And that's in our hearts, not just in our heads, not where we sing it on a Sunday, and not where we can mentally acknowledge that, but where our hearts value and treasure Jesus Christ above everything else. So that's where we're going. So the second point in here is that Jesus is the light shining in the darkness. Jesus is the light shining in the darkness. And what I'm doing in here is I'm jumping ahead, actually. I'm jumping ahead to verses 4 and 5. And then what we're going to do is come back to 3. Because what I want to do is I want to define the light. Jesus talks about the light in verses 4 and 5. And that light is what makes life possible. The life that we see in verses 3 and 4 is made possible by the light. And so I want to define that light and look into that light, and then we'll come back to those earlier verses. So it says, verse 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And if you look down at verse 1:9, it says, John 1:9, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The true light. See, light is a constant theme in the book of John. He uses it 24 times in the gospel, constantly in his epistles too, if you read those later. John loved light. He talks about light a lot. And I want to jump into a few other verses on it. If you go back to Isaiah with me, Isaiah 9, verse 2. Isaiah 9, 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. So he's talking about, and these are all messianic verses that we're going to read about in here. And he's talking about a world that was dwelling in darkness. And on them, the light has come, the light has shined. So John is purposely, again, drawing his readers back to the Old Testament to see that Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And jump ahead a little bit in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They all come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you will see and be radiant. Your hearts shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations shall come to you. Again, it's a messianic prophecy about the coming of Jesus. And again, he's talking about this land that's dwelling in deep darkness. Darkness is covering the earth. And then, boom, the light has come, the light has shined, and God's glory is coming. So if you go again back to the Genesis scripture, or back to the Genesis passage, 1 through 5, looking at verse 3, what was the first thing that was created? First thing that was created, anybody know? Before that, what? Light, yep. In the beginning, when nothing else was, the first thing that God said, the first verse, the first words that we hear from God was, let there be light. And boom, there was light. Before that, there was just darkness. And then God said, let there be light. And boom, light appeared. Again, John is drawing us back to Genesis to see that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And what we have here is the light of creation. Jesus was the light of creation. And now, Jesus has become the light of the new creation, Because we as believers are the new creation. The Bible describes us as new creatures, the new creation. God has made us new. Again, the light of salvation. The word of God is God's powerful self-expression to bring salvation. The light has come. The light is the knowledge of the truth. Do you open the eyes of the blind? The light is the knowledge of the truth. People dwelling in darkness without the truth, without understanding, God has opened their eyes. God has brought revelation to see. And this was a change, and again, we're referenced back to Genesis, the change point in creation. There was darkness everywhere. All there was darkness, and boom, change happened, and there was light. Change happened, and there was light. And again, in John, we see there was darkness. In Isaiah passages that we read, the people dwelling in darkness, there was deep darkness across the land, and boom, light appeared. For those of you who can't tell, I cannot snap. I don't know why, I just can't. So, sorry, I can like wink and blink my eyes and do fun things like that and kind of whistle, but I can't snap. So it would be cooler if I could. So change point in creation, and then we have the change point that we see in the New Testament where darkness and boom, light happens. And so I've got a little illustration for you I was going to do. So boom, there's darkness. So this was, imagine it's all the way dark. We can't quite get there. It's Alaska, and it's mostly dark, but not all the way. So we have darkness covering the face of the land, and there's darkness everywhere. And then, boom, the light has shined. It's not a very bright light, but bear with me. It's all I get. The kids burn out the batteries in my cool lights. So the light has shined, and Jesus appears in the world as the light that shines, and then the light shines even brighter in the contrast of the darkness. And I got a question for you. What happened when I turned on the flashlight and then when the lights came on? What did it do? It got brighter. Why did it get brighter? Why did it get brighter? I mean, there was darkness, and then the light came on, and then instead of the darkness being there, it was light. But there was darkness still, but then when the light came, it was bright. And this is the really cool thing that we see in here, is light, by its very nature, always overcomes darkness. Have you ever noticed when you turn on a light in a bedroom, it doesn't just stay dark unless your light bulbs are burnt out? But light always overcomes darkness. If there's darkness and the light switch is hit, boom, the light overpowers the darkness and shines. God created everything, and it's so cool how he did. I mean, even all the intricacies of what he makes happen by nature point us to him and point us to the beauty and glory of who he is. You see, the darkness is only the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light. And in fact, darkness by its very nature points to the need for light. Because in darkness, we can say, oh, man, we need light. We need light. Darkness points us to the need for light. And both in creation and in the gospel, we see where there was only darkness, light appeared. And light, by its nature, always overcomes the darkness. And verse 5 is cool. If you look at verse 5 in there, it says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, what John is already doing is he's tracing the gospel all the way back to its beginning. The light is shining in the darkness. This light has appeared, shining in the midst of this dark world. And he's tracing it all the way to the inevitable conclusion of the gospel, where the light will ultimately triumph over darkness for all of eternity. And he's foreshadowing this battle coming up that we're going to see playing out in John between light and between darkness. As this light, Jesus himself, comes into this dark world, and that battle that happens is light and darkness battle. It's just like when we were dark in the sanctuary and Emily turned on the lights, there was this battle. Was it a very long battle? No. There was this, all of a sudden, boom, the battle was over and the light was coming. And in the grand scheme of eternity, that's what it'll be like, where there's darkness and then boom, this battle happens and the light overcomes. So it's foreshadowing this conflict that's coming in there and that will continue until the darkness is finally defeated at the return of Jesus. And I want to take you real quick to the end here, Revelation 21. If you can jump all the way back to Revelation 21. See, this is cool. We're going like from Revelation or Genesis 1 to Revelation 21. So we're going all over the Bible today. because Jesus is all over the Bible. Okay, Revelation 21, 23 through 25. And the city has, and this is talking about, he's talking about the new Jerusalem that is coming, the new dwelling place for God's chosen people. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb being Jesus. And the city has no need of sun or of moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Isn't that cool? All the way back in there, we see to the very end of it, and darkness is gone. There is no darkness anymore, and there never will be again, because the light of God has overcome and triumphed. And finally, it's shining, the lamp of the Lamb, and darkness will never be there, will never be again. There will never be a dark night. There will never be a dark room, for the light of God will shine everywhere. It was as it was intended, and there will be no darkness. And what I want to get into now is, so we have this dark world where there existed that we see back in creation and then back at the beginning of John, this darkness that was covering the world, and then the light came. And what that does is it necessitates a choice. We have darkness and then light comes, and that necessitates a choice to be made. Jump back with me to John. We're going to go to John 12. A few different verses in John we'll get to here, but John 12, 46. And this is Jesus talking. He says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So he's talking about whoever believes in him can step out of that darkness and come into that light. Whoever believes can step out of the darkness and into the light. And John 3, 19. John 3, 19 through 21. And this is the judgment. This is the judgment that's coming. The light has come into the world. That's Jesus. And people love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So again, he's talking about this choice that is out there. And people can choose to stay in the light or stay in the darkness, or come out and come into the light. So people have this choice now that he's talking about in here. Will you stay in the darkness or come out into the light? And people were choosing, and it says people chose to stay in the darkness. And what that is a lifestyle characterized by sin. And if you think of darkness, when do most crimes happen? At night. Most crimes happen at night because it's dark. People can't see. And in the same way, sin. Most sin, I mean, anybody, most of us who sin, I don't see anybody sinning in here right now, except if you're not paying attention. I don't see anybody sinning in here now because we're all in the light. But what happens in the dark when nobody's watching? And the darkness that he's talking about is this lifestyle that's characterized by sin. It's a lifestyle of refusing to believe in Jesus, not wanting to acknowledge Jesus. Because then they would have to change their lifestyle. They don't want to come into the truth of God because all of a sudden if they realize, whoa, Jesus is God and Jesus is Lord, suddenly I'm not Lord. Whoa, that means something's going to have to change. And because as I read the Bible, that doesn't line up always with what I want to do. And so people can choose, do I want to submit to Jesus as Lord and have him lead and guide my life? Or do I just want to be my own Lord and lead and guide my own life? So it's those who dwell in darkness. They don't want to change their lifestyle. They want to remain in sin. And even some who may appear to be Christians who come on Sunday morning would have this hidden lifestyle that's characterized by sin. Only God knows, but God does know. God does know. And that's the difference between them. I had a friend in high school. I became a Christian in college, and I had a lot of friends in high school that all my friends in high school weren't Christians. And I came back one time And over the summer, after I became a Christian and was talking to my old friends from high school, and got a chance to share my faith with them and talk to them about how I became a Christian and what God was doing in my life. And he looked at me and said, "I can't believe you would do that to me. I don't want to have anything to do with you." And he walked away. And that was the last I saw him. He never wanted to have anything to do with me. And sadly enough, a few years after that, I already committed suicide. He chose to walk in the darkness. He wanted to stay in that darkness. He didn't want to come into the light. I don't know all of his story and everything that was in there. Never got to find that out, but he chose to stay in the darkness, and it led to death. But then there is light, those who walk in the light, and that is those who have faith in who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. They believe, as we were singing, that God the Father and Jesus Christ, who died for us and was resurrected for us. And that doesn't mean perfect. Lord knows, otherwise we'd all be disqualified, me included. But their life is characterized by a lifestyle of following Jesus, living in accordance with the truth of God as revealed in his word, even in secret. And that's where it comes down to it, not just on Sunday mornings, not when people are watching, but in secret. What are we doing? What are we doing in the darkness, so to speak? Are we walking in the light even when we're in the darkness? And that is, people are seeking growth. We've been talking, and as a church, more and more about developing a culture of discipleship and accountability, seeking accountability for our life, seeking discipleship so that we can grow. Those who are in the light seek accountability. They seek discipleship because they want to grow to be more like Jesus. They don't mind letting their sins be exposed and known because they want to change. They want to grow. And that's the difference. I mean, I've still got sin in my life that I need to deal with. But by the grace of God, I don't mind telling people about it because I don't want it to be there anymore. And if other people know about it, they can help me get out from that and walk more and more in the light of God. All right. And then the third point in here. True life comes only by walking in Jesus' light. True life only comes by walking in Jesus' light. So, and this is where we get back into John here. He says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So what was made by Christ? What was not made by Christ? Okay, just making sure you're all paying attention and listening. Good. Jump with me to Colossians 1. So Colossians, kind of midway through the epistles after 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Colossians 1. Looking at 15 through 17. Again, talking about Jesus. This is Paul writing about who Jesus is. "He is the image of the invisible God." Again, the expression of God himself. "The firstborn of all creation." And by firstborn in there, he's not talking about created. Firstborn of creation doesn't mean the first creation. If you actually look that up, it literally is talking about existed before. Existed before creation. "For by him," that is Jesus, "all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So you see, Jesus isn't just the agent or the vessel that God used at creation. He wasn't like the hammer that God used to forge the world. Jesus is the source of life. He talks about it. In verse 4, he says, "In him was life." He is the source of life. His place in creation is irreplaceable. He is the absolute source of all of creation. And if we see again, life is another one. John likes the words light, and he likes life. Life's used 36 times in the Gospel of John. And always again, he's pointing us back to creation. He's pointing us back to Genesis, while at the same time looking ahead to the salvation and eternal life that Jesus is offering to his creation that's living in darkness and death. He's pointing us back to what Jesus did at creation and bringing life at creation. And now he's coming again to this dark world to bring life again. As his light comes, so his life comes, to bring life to those who are dead in their sins. In the Bible, you see light always comes before life. Light always comes before life. At creation, God spoke. First thing he did, let there be light. And then creation and life followed after that. And in John, again, first thing we see, there was darkness, and then there was light that came. Jesus is the light. And then from that, we see the gift of eternal life that God is giving out to his people. Again, another scripture I want to take you to, Ephesians 2. So right by Colossians, Ephesians 2. If you've heard me speak before, you've probably heard me use this verse about every time I preach because I love this section. So it's Ephesians 2, 1 through 5-ish, or 1 through 9-ish. And you were dead in trespasses and sins. That's talking about us. All of us were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were in darkness and we were dead. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So he's talking about how we were before Christ. Before this light came, there was darkness. There was darkness. We were dwelling in darkness. Before you became a Christian and knew Jesus, you were dwelling in darkness. I was dwelling in darkness. We were dead in our sins. Dead in our sins because there was no forgiveness for them. But God, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Isn't that awesome? I love that verse. For by grace we have been made alive together with Christ. Again, he is the source and author of life, both life at creation and eternal, true and eternal life, living the life. He is the author of living the life because he is the one that created it. We were dead in our sin, and which was our unbelief in Christ and the Word, until by the grace of God, we became alive as we believe on Christ and walk in the light of his truth. Another one from John, John 8:12. And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. Light comes and then life. If we walk in the light, we will have life. You see, life is the gift of God. It talks about in that we read in Ephesians, it's the gift of God, lest any man can boast. We can't earn walking in the light. We can't make it happen. We can't earn the life that Jesus has to offer us. All we do is receive it. It's the gift of God that makes eternal life possible. And it revealed the light of God is the gift that makes life possible because it reveals to us the path towards the eternal life. In the same way that Jesus was the source of life originally at creation, he is now the only source of life, of eternal life, as we come by faith into the light and continue to walk in the light. And in here is, as we wrap this up a bit, we see in here this contrast that we've been talking about. We contrast, the first contrast between light and darkness, between light and darkness. And in the same way we see that contrast between life and death, light and darkness, light and life and death. You see, Jesus has come into the world as the presence of God's life, or as God's light. He came into this dark world as the presence of light, and he offers us true and eternal life. He came to offer us true and eternal life through his light. And if we reject Christ, it means that we are choosing to continue to walk in darkness. Because that's where we all start. All of us start in darkness. All of us were dead in our sins and walking in darkness until the light of Christ came and we chose and we accepted that and received the gift that he had for us. Walking in darkness is and will lead to death. Walking in darkness will and does lead to death. And before I was walking with Jesus, I remember very clearly I used to be terrified of death, terrified to the point of tears of eternity and death, because I didn't have the light of Christ. I didn't have the hope of life in him. And it terrified me. And it should have, because it will lead to my life that I was leading towards death. And that's an eternal death, eternal separation from Christ. And it's death in this life, too. I know, man, I was dying and I could feel it. I mean, even though I was doing the things that should make me happy and that the world would even say making me happy, it wasn't making me happy. It was leading to death. You see, we will choose one or the other. We will choose light or darkness, and we will choose light or life or death. We will choose one or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no get out of jail free, no escape from that. There is a choice to be made, and we will always choose one or the other. We will always choose to walk in the darkness that leads to death, or we will choose to walk in the light that leads to life. And our lifestyle will show which choice we have made. It will be obvious whether it's in secret or whether it's in the open. And Jesus knows, and God sees, and Jesus knows all of what our lifestyle is. And what we have chosen will be based on the belief in our heart. It's not based on what we say. It's not based on the fact that we come to church. Not based on the fact that we can sing cool songs. Any of that. It's based on what we believe in our heart. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do we believe that he is the light of life? Do we believe that walking in the truth and light of this world, of the Word of God, is the way that we have to live, is the way that will lead to true and eternal life? Do we believe that? Not just do we mentally acknowledge it, but do we believe it in our heart? Because if we believe it in our heart, that is the way that we will live out. What we believe determines how we live, always, 100% of the time. If we believe something, we will live that way. What we believe will determine how we live. And so what is our life showing that we believe? Are we walking in the light of God, or are we walking in the darkness? And my heart in this series, in today and in this series, is to make this an easy choice. As it is. It should be an easy choice. It's like when we go up to our kids, hey kids, what do you want tonight for dinner? We can have broccoli or we can go out for ice cream. Which one do you want to have? Ice cream. They're like, yes, easy choice, ice cream. In the same way, it should be an easy choice, if not for the sin in our hearts that's drawing us away from God. This is an easy choice, life or death, light or darkness. It's an easy choice, and my heart is that we would see and behold the beauty and glory of who Jesus is so that the world will lose its grip on us, so that we wouldn't want the things of the world, so money wouldn't drive us, sex wouldn't drive us. It wouldn't be hunting and fishing and all these different things that aren't all necessarily bad, but what should drive us and motivate us and be the center of our life is Jesus Christ. And our heart in this series is for us to see how beautiful and glorious he is and the beauty and the glory of the gift that he has offered to us so that we would choose to embrace him and walk in the light and walk in the life that Jesus has for us. And we're going to transition here to communion. So if I could have the worship team come up. So the heart in this is to receive the light and the life that Jesus has for us. And I want to take you to one other verse, John 6, 47 through 51. John chapter 6, 47 through 51. And if I could have those serving communion come up too and be on the ready. John 6, 47, it says, truly, truly, this is Jesus talking. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give them for life of the world, is my flesh. See, he's using the analogy of the bread. For as bread represents food. For as bread is essential to natural life, for our existence, so Jesus is essential to spiritual life, to true and eternal life. And he's calling us to eat of his flesh, which basically means to receive Jesus as our Lord through faith in who he is, faith in his death and faith in his resurrection to cleanse us from sin. You see, this amazing Jesus in all of his beauty and all of his glory, this author of life that was in the beginning with God before all of creation, this author and source of life, he humbled himself by becoming one of his creation, becoming one of his created things, dwelling among his creation, and then subjecting himself to be humiliated and killed by his creation, this glorious God that we serve. And our call today is to receive this true and eternal life that Jesus has to offer. And communion's a sign of that, to receive the life that Jesus so graciously offers us through faith in him, so that we can, by faith, receive forgiveness of our sins, receive walking out of darkness, receive walking into light, and receive life, so that we can live in gratitude, recognizing that Jesus is worthy of everything, so that we can submit everything, our lifestyle and our choices, everything that we have, to Jesus, who alone is truly worthy. So we're going to partake of communion here. And I want to pray for us to get started in that. But as you come up and receive the bread, dip it in the grape juice and receive it, I just want you to remember and receive afresh the gift of life that Jesus has to offer us, true and eternal life, true living the life, this true and eternal life that we get to remember as we celebrate communion together, so that we can go out and walk in the light that Jesus has for us. Father, I just thank you for this bread of life. Lord, that we can see and recognize that you are the bread of life, that you have provided the way to true and eternal life, Lord. You have called us out of death and darkness, Lord, through the death of your son, Jesus, through his resurrection, through forgiveness of our sins, Lord. You have given us the gift of light. And as we walk into that light, Lord, you've given us the gift of eternal life in you. And so, Father, I pray that as we partake of communion and eat this bread, Lord, that, Lord, we wouldn't just do it because it's what we do on Sundays, but, Lord, as we do it, we would receive the life that you want to offer to us, Lord, that we'd rejoice in it, Lord, in gratitude and humility, recognizing what you have done for us, Lord, that we could not do for ourselves. And, Lord God, that as we partake to you, that you would draw our hearts to see how beautiful and glorious you are, to recognize the wonder and the beauty of who you are, and the fact, Lord God, of the cost that you paid to bring us that redemption. Lord, draw our hearts to you today as we partake of this, Father God, and touch and change our hearts, that we would be those who walk in the light of life, that we would choose to walk out in the light, Lord, to seek growth, to seek accountability, to seek discipleship, Lord, all so that we can grow more and more, to lay our life out there, Father God, so that you can touch us and change us and make us more like you, Lord. Help us in that, Lord. And we just thank you for this gift of life that you've given to us, Lord. We receive that in humble gratitude. We love you, Jesus. So as you come up front again, you don't need to rush, but as you come up, just come in the middle aisles, partake, and then come back around to your seat.
Purify our hearts with truth and guide them in your way. Sanctify our lives anew. Have mercy, Lord, we pray, that we may do what's pleasing in your sight and know the fullness of your sacrifice. We break this bread, drink this wine, remembering the cross, the beauty of your love divine is washing over us, that we may do what's pleasing in your sight, know the fullness of your sacrifice. And Lord, we come to you, we're And all you've done for us, you have set us free. Oh, the mystery of all you've done, and all you've done for us. Purify our hearts with truth and guide them in your way. Sanctify our lives anew. Have mercy, Lord, we pray, that we may do what's pleasing in your sight, and know the fullness of your sacrifice. We break this bread, we drink this wine, remembering the cross, the beauty of your love divine is washing over us, that we may do what's pleasing in your sight, and know the fullness of your sacrifice. And Lord, we come to you, we're amazed by you and all you've done, and all you've done for us, and you have set us free. Oh, the mystery of all you've done, all you've done for us. Hallelujah, 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 amen.
Why don't we stand together as we close?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Father, we do just stand in amazement at the wonder and beauty and glory of who you are, Father, at what you've done. Lord, I just thank you for it, Father, and I just pray that you would open our eyes, Lord, more and more to see the beauty and the glory of who you are, to remember what you've done, Lord God, that you came as light into the darkness of the world, that you came as light into our dark lives, Father God, into my dark life. Lord, and you opened my eyes to see. And Lord, that you brought us out of death, a lifestyle of death that was leading towards death, Lord, and you set us free from that and gave us the gift of true and eternal life. Lord, we do stand in amazement at what you've done, Father, and just pray that you would draw our hearts, Father God, that we would be a people who walk in the light, that we walk in your light, Father God, and in that we would walk in the life that you have for us, Jesus, true, true and eternal life, Lord. Thank you for that, Father God. We love you. We pray for all of us, Lord God, this week that you would help us to walk in your light, Lord God. Draw us more and more out of darkness, Lord, and help us to walk more and more in your light as we strive after you. We love you, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen. Well, thank you guys all for coming. Remember, we have prayer teams up front if you would like prayer for anything. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week.